You can probably picture it, a dusty rider thundering past a remote-looking outpost at full gallop, like relay racers preparing for a handoff, another horse starts galloping down the road, and the rider jumps from his first mount to the other, and the Pony Express goes racing on to deliver the mail. But is that how it happened? Orphans Preferred is the title of a book by Christopher Corbett, The Twisted Truth and Lasting Legend of the Pony Express. He joins us now in our Washington studios. Mr. Corbett, welcome.
Thank you.
You call your book Orphans Preferred because that was the way they advertised for writers.
Well, that's the alleged advertisement.
But presumably it was a kind of job that you would not take if you had lots of dependents or...
Precisely. The larger matter of the Orphans Preferred is that you had to really be willing to take terrific risk. Once you crossed the Missouri in 1860, you really entered a vast and uninhabited expanse that was very dangerous. The weather was probably the biggest danger people faced, which is always interesting because people today always imagine, well, what about the Indians? But Indians weren't really interested in a two-week-old St. Louis newspaper, if you think about it. The fact of the matter is that old men who'd actually ridden for the pony, the thing they complained about was the weather.
Let me just ask you to sort of remind us, this whole period was actually a very brief one. What was that period?
It lasted for about a year and a half, from April 3rd, 1860 to October 26th, 1861. The Transcontinental Telegraph, in essence, put the pony out of business in 2 days. It was put through on the 24th of October, 1861, and 2 days later, the newspapers in California ran notices saying, "Our little friend, the pony, will run no more." And that was the end.
On page 82, you write about the riders and what was expected of them and the things they encountered. Could you just read us part of that?
Sure. The riders were instructed to avoid confrontation with road agents or Indians. They were riding the best horses in the American West, and their instructions were to outrun any interloper. Speed and endurance were their first defense. The Colt revolver was a last resort. They outran Indians and they outran wolves. They rode around or sometimes through vast herds of buffalo. They rode by moonlight, and they rode when there was no moonlight to guide them. They swam swollen streams. If a horse was lost or killed and this happened, the rider was instructed to carry the mochia on his back to the next station.
The mochia being the pack that held
right.
the mail.
Right.
Not the same rider necessarily?
No.
They handed off the pack.
They changed riders roughly every 100 miles and changed horses every 10 to 12 miles.
That's a very high level of organization. I mean, that's a lot of stations along the way.
A lot of stations and a lot of money. They spent a fortune setting this line up. Only very expensive mail traveled by Pony Express. It cost $5, which was a considerable amount of money in those days when a common laborer in Kansas might earn only a dollar.
What kinds of things were people paying $5 to send?
Newspapers were ferocious supporters of the pony. In 1860, there were almost a 500,000 people living on the Pacific Slope. Now, they'd almost arrived there overnight because of the gold rush, and they were desperate for information from the East. It wasn't something frivolous. You didn't send a letter by Pony Express unless it was important. They also didn't carry very much weight. Everything was printed on onion skin paper. They made a very big point of this, so it would be light as possible. So they would never carry more than, on average, 20 pounds of mail.
I think it's so amazing to think about how much a part of the American myth they have become. If it was a matter of 70-something weeks that they existed. Now, where did it come from? Where did that astonishing sense that we all share that the Pony Express was a big deal?
I think Buffalo Bill had a lot to do with inventing the memory of the Pony Express. He put the Pony Express rider as a kind of skit in the Wild West Show. It was there the day the Wild West Show opened in Omaha, Nebraska in the spring of 1883, and it was still in the show in 1916 when Cody was an old man and they had to hoist him onto the back of a horse so he could wave to the fans. It was one of those irreplaceable fixtures of Buffalo Bill's Wild West.
So that is the kind of thing that has preserved it, that sort
it
of
has.
Fluffed it up and inflated it and made it more than it may actually have been.
It has. I think it's the kind of memory that Americans love. The pony is a benign memory of the American West. And in the world we live in, where we have a lot of very sad and painful memories of the West, the decimation of the Indian or the slaughter of the buffalo, here comes the pony.
Well, Christopher Corbett, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Christopher Corbett is the author of the book Orphans Preferred, The Twisted Truth and Lasting Legend of the Pony Express. He joined us here in our studios in Washington. For more on this, visit our website at npr.org.